You are indeed a part of the ministry in Nigeria. And I want to say that the name of Markham Missionary Church is known on the lips of many of our African believers there. As an individual congregation, many of us talk about our home church, our home congregation. Joan has talked about you. The Denisons speak of you, and we speak of you to the Nigerians because we know that your heart is with us in the work there, and we thank you for that. I could say so many things this morning. I don't know whether to talk about our own personal work there and life there, or to talk about the things that have happened recently, or to talk about the overall field picture or the future. I could talk for 3 hours, but I'm not going to. And I hope also that I'll see many of you here this evening to hear from my colleague, Raleigh Royalty. I see his name in the program, and I'm so glad that he can be here, because you're going to hear today from an old field where God is doing new things, and you're going to hear from a new field this evening, from Spain, where God is also doing new things. Now, we have already read this morning from Psalm chapter 2, and the verses 7 and 8 are the verses that I would like to direct your attention to, along with several other verses from Scripture, as a biblical background to what I want to share. So we'll just turn to Psalm chapter 2 again, a wonderful psalm where the Lord seems to be addressing his son and saying something very wonderful, even to the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession." God the Father speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ that the nations of the world would become his possession. Then in Jeremiah chapter 29, we have some verses there addressed to the captives of Israel who were captive in a foreign land, not in the place where God wanted them to be. And we can apply this to people all over the world today who are not in the place where God wants them to be. They are captives of some other system of belief or some other loyalty in life. But God says to the captives in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." There we have the word of God to the captives. We've heard what God said to his son, and that the nations of the world would become his inheritance. And here, a beautiful promise to those who are in captivity, including those in foreign lands who have not yet come into subjection, and the beautiful relationship with Jesus Christ that he wants to give them. And then finally, we have a word from God to the disciples in John chapter 20, where we can turn to verse 19 and following. And here we have the appearance of Jesus to his disciples on the first day of the week. The disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this and showed them his hands, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." And so he gave authority to his disciples to go and plant his church throughout the world. And that's God's word to disciples, to you, to me. And I would want to say that perhaps we could substitute the word commission instead of send, so that it really and clearly applies to all of us. As the Father has commissioned me, the Son, so I am commissioning you, my disciples. So it includes all of us this morning. We have been thinking of you many times over the last few months, probably at the time of the war. We thought so much of what was intervening, not in your land and not in our land, but at least in a land, and how people were suffering there, and also thinking of you, watching, no doubt, the events of the war on your television sets, and we listening to it on the BBC, hearing at least the voices, and you probably seeing pictures as well. And it was the event of 1991, I'm sure, unless the Lord will come again this year, and that will eclipse the war in Kuwait. Just in November, I met a refugee couple from Kuwait who came to Joss. She was one of my students years ago when we were at Hillcrest, and she graduated and married a man from Sudan, and they went to live in Kuwait and had been working there for a number of years. A beautiful Christian couple, Victoria and George, and they started their escape from Kuwait in October, and after around 6 weeks of traveling from place to place, as they were able to get from one place to another allowed place, they were able to come via Egypt and Sudan to Nigeria. And as the war was going on, I thought time and time again, not only of a small family like Victoria and George and their children, but of many others who were influenced by that war. And I have been made to understand that the great theme of the scriptures has to do with liberation of those who are captives. And this morning we want to think for a moment of the relationship of what happened over there to the way that God has used Jesus Christ to provide a way of escape for captives, and the great promise that he has given to those who are in captivity, those who are blinded by sin and the power of sin, and also the great word of Jesus Christ in commissioning us, his disciples, to be sent or to be used in spreading his word among the nations. And perhaps you may feel this morning that it's not a very good comparison, thinking of the Kuwaitis and their liberation, to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Maybe you feel, as many people have commented, that the system in Kuwait may not have been so good as to have deserved liberation and restoration. I know that many commentators have said, why should we go in and liberate a government like that? But perhaps we ought to understand that we, as spiritual captives, and those who are still in spiritual captivity, also did not deserve the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the liberation that he has given to us as believers, and that he offers to those who are still in bondage is an undeserved liberation. And so this morning we see the aspect of God's grace in reaching down into your life and mine and the lives of people across the world to lift up the fallen, who are not deserving people. It is a warfare. It is a struggle also. And probably over the last 2 years or so, the aspects of spiritual warfare have become clearer than ever before to many of us who are in Nigeria. I think of the return to Canada around 3 or 4 years ago of Harvey and Renee Fretz, when her health was under such great attack and she was very, very ill, and even to this day suffers some of the results of that disease. I think it has many names, yuppie flu or Barr-Epstein virus, and the assault upon their ministry and their family on their physical health and well-being. When Harold and Elda Knights were with us in Nigeria, they suffered a great deal of illness, both of them, especially Elda. Again, another assault from the enemy. I think some 3 years ago of the time when Peter Dennison had his very tragic fall from a high place over the roof of one of the buildings and injured himself so badly, almost to the extent where we wondered if he would be able to be mobile again. And there have been physical attacks like that. Also attacks upon our family integrity, our wholeness as families, and attacks upon the institutional integrity of our UMCA church. Even in the past few years, it has been clear that there has been some wrongdoing going on in our offices over there in the church. And the result of the financial problems that we had and mismanagement that were going on have been very clear in terms of the spiritual ministry and outreach of the church. Again, the enemy trying to put off the rails what God is trying to do among us. Attacks upon the security of property and of lives. And undoubtedly, you read our letter concerning what happened to Pat with armed robbers a few months ago. And that was an echoing of another attack on Lois Fuller and many of her colleagues who were traveling to a conference on the evangelization of Nigeria by the year 2000. And they were also attacked by armed robbers and could have been shot and killed so easily. I think back almost 7 or 8 years ago to the death of our general secretary in the UMCA, Reverend Sam Aloyade, and to recent deaths of key national pastors and workers, people who were taken before their time. All of these assaults from the evil one. The liberation of captives is not an easy work, and the enemy knows what he is doing as he puts attacks on various people. So if we have seen more attacks recently, I suppose we just have to say that the enemy is more aware or more threatened by what God's people are planning to do these days than ever before. Yet I believe and want to report to you this morning that victory is being won, though at cost, in the work in Nigeria. And I want to emphasize just three things this morning. First of all, reinforcements in leadership, in Christian leadership. Secondly, new believers and revived believers. And thirdly, new horizons for the evangelization of the world. And we know about the goal of AD 2000. It's just a convenient year. There's nothing magical about the year. But throughout the world, people are being mobilized by the desire to have plans for reaching the world for Christ by or beyond the year 2000. Reinforcements in leadership. I want to really thank God for what he has done in raising up new leadership to join hands with old leadership within our church in Nigeria. Undoubtedly, you have heard names mentioned from time to time that have become household words among us here in Markham because they've been mentioned and prayed for many times. And to these older leaders, God is adding young men, students who are graduating and coming into the pastoral ministry or joining our Bible schools. And I was very thrilled the other day when I sat down and wrote out the names of 10 people who had been taken on to Bible school staff positions within the last 2 years. I had no idea that God had augmented our Bible school training leadership by 10 people. But those are all teachers in our national Bible schools and theological college, 10 new ones. Since about 1985, God has brought 260 students at the present time into enrollment in our Bible training institutions. And that is an increase from around 70 students around 1985. And so we have an increase of around 400% in these few years. I might say that our needs are not yet met because many of them are still in training in the institutions. But we long for that day when they will finish their courses and come out and join in the work. The man who brought me to the airport in Lagos 2 weeks ago tomorrow is a new man in the leadership of our church. He is an engineer whom God has put his hands on in a marvelous way, John Adetunji. John was the son of a pastor and many years ago went through the university in quantity surveying and became a successful businessman. He was a member of our chapel in Iloran, came to church on Sundays, living a life that was somehow Christian, and yet just a few years ago, God broke in on his life and made him a disciple of Jesus Christ. John has since helped to found a new church in Iloran, the Faith Missionary Church, along with his brother, who was equally moved upon by the Lord. John has devoted the assets of his business to the work of God and is now using every spare amount of money that he can get for outreach ministry and evangelism. He has become, on his part-time basis, a district evangelist within the Kwara district of UMCA and recently accepted the post of executive secretary of our missions board. And it was because of that that he and I were in Lagos during that Sunday and Monday, just before I came out of Nigeria, looking at the new churches and the new opportunities that are coming in that southern part of Nigeria where God is doing a great work of reviving the UMCA believers and helping them to reach out. Only last year, that area had enough churches to become a district. I think that is a minimum of 10 churches. And now they have 11 churches organized with another 3 on the way. And so what we can see happening there is a wonderful thing. And John and I had the opportunity of going around and encouraging the new groups and working out plans with them so that they could grow and do revival among nominal Christians in that area. John is one example that I wanted to share about this morning. I'm thrilled with the way God raised up from the ranks of educated lay members someone who was willing to go above and beyond and do what God was asking him to do. There could be many more like him, and in fact there are more like him, and we pray that God will continue to do that kind of work among our educated lay members. Now, what about new believers and revived believers? Well, this is an exciting thing to me because revival is necessary in an old church. I told you a few minutes ago that UMCA is an old church and that God is doing new things among us. And it's true, since we are almost 75 years old as far as organized churches go. Yet in terms of being districts, we might be only 40 or 50 or 10 years old or 1 year old, as this one in Lagos is a new district. And as a denomination, UMCA is only 30 or 40 years old, having been formed in 1955. But with all of the believers that have been established for some time, there has been a lot of nominalism in the church. And God is doing a great work of revival in the area around Iloran, in the south of Nigeria, and in the central or the Nupe-speaking district. And we see little pockets coming here and there where people are getting a new vision and old believers are becoming dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ and understanding the commitment that they have made to him and able to put their time and their resources on the line for Christ. Revived believers. Even some of our older churches are having revival meetings and evangelistic crusades and evangelistic outreaches, and new believers are coming in through their ministry. We have a number of evangelists in our district. Some of them are new evangelists, young men who have recently taken the call of evangelism. One such man is a Nupe man, Elijah Saba, and he has gone to a very old area, Share, Saragi, which is not so far from Eloran, and he has found that village after village after village is composed of pagan believers, pagan people, people who do not believe in Jesus Christ. And he has found many opportunities to plant churches and establish groups among them. Sometimes it's he who goes on Sundays to meet with them or during the week, and sometimes he sends students from the Bible school in Saragi, and he has developed those Bible school students into a fine outreach team, and new churches are being planted in an old area. And so we are thankful for young men like him. And God has raised up a great movement for evangelism through our established churches and also on the new areas, the cutting edge of the UMCA work. The UMTC Chapel has a missions team, and every year around Easter time they go out for a 10-day outreach. This year, around 45 people went, and they were not back by the time I left. I don't know the results, but they went to 10 different locations in outreach ministry, some of them new areas. Victory is being won. What about the future? Well, I want to suggest this morning that there are new horizons that we're looking for in UMCA, or looking towards. By the year 2000, we are hoping in our church to be involved with 5 different unreached people groups. I know that you would be aware of the Dukawa unreached people around Rijo and Tungamagadia, not far from where Joan was serving when she left us a few years ago. The Dukawa people are being reached at the moment by a number of different outreach teams, some from our own UMCA and some from other groups that have come into that area. The Missionary Church has recently approved sending 2 new missionary couples, Americans, to come and help us with Dukawa outreach. The Northern Districts of UMCA formed a mission board about 2 years ago, and they have appointed one of the pastors who was already working among the Dukawa as a missionary to Dukawa people. And Gaya Dishi has been serving there for around 3 years now and has planted one church which has almost 100 people in it and is working on his second church in that area. We are also expecting that the Wycliffe Bible Translator people who came to work with UMCA just a few months ago, Steve and Sonia Detweiler, who are members of our missionary church here in Breslau, will also, when they complete their research, decide that the Dukawa language project should be continued, and possibly Bible translation and literacy work can be added into the total outreach project with the Dukawa tribe. That's what's being done in one area of our work. And we want to say thanks for the support that Markham Church has given towards Dukawa outreach. This pastor, Gaya Dishi, this missionary, is being given a working allowance through the gift that has come from Markham Missionary Church for Dukawa outreach. And as time goes on, we hope that we'll be able to involve you more with that great project. The Dukawa people are a tribe of 30 to 50,000 people, with only about 3 or 4 churches among them at the moment. Therefore, they are an unreached people group. Now, we want to do the same thing in 4 other tribes by the year 2000. Already, UMCA has established a program amongst the Gwari people, which is quite a bit north and east of where we live in Iloran. But they have established that, and there is one planted church with 2 more just being started at the present time, and we have 2 national missionaries working with them. What do we do by 2000? We need to identify 3 more of the unreached people groups that are in that northern area of UMCA and establish programs among them. So that's what I mean by new horizons. And I am wondering if the attacks that have come upon God's people in Nigerian missions and church work may not be Satan's response to plans such as this. He is very happy to have 70 unreached people groups that are not reached in Nigeria. I'm sure we know that. And he would like to keep it that way. But as people challenge the stronghold of the enemy, we can expect a challenge back from him. Now, on a personal note, I want to say that Pat and I have had a wonderful 2 years, not without its heartaches, but Pat has turned over her work at the library at the Theological College to a national librarian and is completing a training program with him now. And the children are in Jos. Mark is going to graduate in June, on the 7th of June, which happens to be my birthday. And Laura will finish grade 7 at the same time, and we will be bringing them home at the end of June. And I think you know our plans for the future include work at Kitchener, as you've been told this morning. We want to thank you for standing behind us all these years we've been working there in Nigeria. I hope that our connection with Nigeria will not be severed. I'm hoping that I'll be able to go back with volunteer teams, making short visits from time to time, and certainly we'll be keeping our close touch with the people there through letters and calls and other ways. So as I conclude this morning, I want us to think again of the Savior to whom God has promised the nations, to think of the captives, to whom God said that he has good plans, plans that will accomplish good and liberation in their lives. And I want us to think of ourselves, to whom Jesus said, as the Father has commissioned me, Jesus, so I commission you. And to think of our responsibilities this morning as we think of the world that needs liberation.
Thanks for bringing us up to date as to what God is doing in Nigeria, and I trust that we'll be able to celebrate with them the work and the power of God as we see him doing the same thing here at home.